And that is a question that is constantly asked by so many cafes, unfortunately, is like, I need a cheaper coffee. Can you get me a cheaper coffee to their roasters? Or roasters who are asking that to the people who they import coffee from, whether it's an importer or the grower who they work with. Like, I need a cheaper coffee.
That's not coming from a healthy business. That question doesn't come from someone who's running a healthy business.
Exactly. Exactly. That is just like, we need good business that is actually supporting other businesses. And that's what a good business is. It is mutually beneficial for the other folks who you are working with, whether they're your customers or your suppliers.
This episode is proudly brought to you by Mapper Forward's workshop, It's Time to Become a Coffee Consultant. Learn how to diversify your revenue streams and create freedom from your day job while saying goodbye to that alarm clock forever by becoming a consultant within the coffee industry or directly to consumers who have shifted towards home brewing and home roasting. Protect your income from challenging times in the coffee value chain by taking this course today. Go to mapperforward.coffee/workshops or click the link in the show notes for details. Welcome to the Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward, friends. I'm your host, Lee Safar, and this is episode 2 of a 5-part series with Madeline from PCR. PCR being based in Hawaii. We are talking in this series, folks, about the conversations that we should be having as an industry in coffee right now. And in the last episode, we talked about the SCA Expo that just happened in Chicago. And you know, something, if I'm looking back, Madeline, at kind of both of our journeys, and you and I are good friends, we talk a lot, not nearly enough, but we, folks, we had an almost 3-hour conversation before we started the podcast, and we need 2 hours at least as we record this podcast, just to give you an understanding of the length of our conversation. And so our journeys have been pretty similar in the way that we kind of like kind of debrief about the way the industry is going. And what I feel you're experiencing this year is something that I experienced maybe a couple years earlier. And I described it to somebody who asked me about the why I wasn't at SCA Expo. And I said to them, listen, what I suspect is going to happen, and this did end up happening, is that people are going to leave Expo and they're going to see a crack in the glass. Mm-hmm. And the glass in this analogy is the way that they see the industry. And they're going to come out of that with a crack. And they're not going to know how the crack got there. They're not even going to know what the crack is. But they're going to see that there's a crack. And they're going to try and avoid that.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't unsee that crack anymore, because a lot of people left Expo saying that was really indulgent.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't really talk about anything that's perhaps as meaningful as it could have been. And I don't feel so good about that. And that feeling is the crack in the glass. And then they go and they see, what does that, they start to dig at that crack and try and figure out what that feeling is, even though they're trying to avoid it, and it is tapping at them very intensely, and that gets louder and louder and louder. And it won't let them ignore the crack that's on the glass, and then the crack gets bigger. And I am seeing that all over LinkedIn right now. Mm-hmm. All over LinkedIn, I am seeing the guilt vomited all over LinkedIn. People saying, we need to do more for the producer. And I'm like, I love that these conversations are happening. But the coffee model is broken, and it's been broken for a few years. And I don't know if it can be fixed.
I would even say it's been broken for a couple centuries.
So. Oh, tell me more. Why do you say that?
It is built off of colonialism, this whole industry. And that is a model that works for a select few by stepping on the necks of everybody else. And that has, that is the origin of this industry. It is a colonial industry that was forced on people all over the world. People were put into slavery for coffee to feed the desires of the colonizing nations. And for a cheap product. And that is the model of this industry. That's what it's been built on.
Who are the countries? And the reason I'm asking you this question is not to be an asshole. The reason I'm asking you this question is because I recently found out that the main country that perpetrated these issues, their citizens were never taught this at school.
The Netherlands.
No, the English.
Oh, the English. Yeah.
The English are not taught about colonialism at school.
What?
I had the same response. Let me tell you, if you are from the UK and you have never traveled outside, it is likely that you don't even know about colonialism if you don't engage with people who talk like, if you're on the right.
Wait, is this new?
I swear to God, I couldn't believe, my heart hurt when I found out about it recently. When a friend of mine, a very dear friend of mine, said to me, we didn't learn about any of this at school. We don't know the history of the role that we played in colonialism. We didn't get taught about it. I'm like, what do you mean you didn't get taught about it? She's like, we don't know this about our history, Lee. She said, I had to go out and travel before I knew that we did this. And I was shocked. I spoke to other people about it. And they said the same thing. We never got taught about it. We learned about it on social media. People in the UK don't know the role that they play in fucking the world up.
Yeah.
So can you explain to those people what colonialism is? Seriously.
God. Yeah, I mean, you know, these people who left under the name of exploring the world and quote unquote discovered other people and other lands around the world. And it's the shortened version is they claimed it for themselves, even though these full-blown societies and cultures and incredible, incredible societies existed well before they, quote unquote, discovered it and decided, oh, well, this is great and all, but we really like this and we like the resources that are here. So we're going to do away with you as individuals. This is now ours. Anybody who resists, you're going to be killed off en masse. And those who don't resist, you're just going to be our slaves now and do everything that we want to do. And we're going to extract all of the natural resources that are available in this area now.
Yep.
And it's ours. And now we claim this is ours. Your language is outlawed. You have to learn our language. Your culture is outlawed. That's the devil's word. And you have to learn our religion. You have to learn our culture and our ways of life.
And our religions and all of it. And it's going to happen because we declared it. So don't believe me? Watch what my gun can do.
And these diseases will also wipe you out because you've never been exposed to them.
So your thinking is that that's when coffee got broken.
Yeah, when it was the, I mean, look at Sri Lanka,
mm-hmm.
right? That was one of the first really successful forest coffee plantations in the mm-hmm. world. It's brought there by colonizers, forced on the people there. Massive production happened. And it failed because of coffee leaf rust. And that's why there's no coffee there anymore.
Mm.
This is why you have tea. This is why there's Ceylon tea. Because instead of coffee, once it failed, once the industry was completely wiped out, they don't care. The colonizers, like, we just need to replace it with a different industry that we can extract from this place and these people. So now it's going to be tea.
Yeah, it's this like fundamental underlying lack of empathy that drives business mm-hmm. decisions. And look, folks, I'm not an anti-capitalist. You have to understand that. I help people build businesses. I own businesses myself. I am not against owning businesses, selling products, building businesses. But the way that I teach people to do that is by solving problems. Monetize the problems that you're solving.
Yeah.
Add value. What we're talking about is people, and this goes back to what we were talking about at SEA. There are people that are not understanding the damage and the ramifications that they're causing by selling people equipment that they don't fucking need and encouraging mm-hmm. them to buy equipment that they don't need.
Mm-hmm.
By not having enough empathy to put somebody else's needs, who you're calling your customer, ahead mm-hmm. of your sales,
mm-hmm.
you are putting another penny in the jar that will eventually lead to the demise of this industry. I mean, there are so many reasons why coffee is fantastic. Okay. It is the business that in every community that it exists in is the most safe place for people to come and either relax or connect with their friends or get some alone time and read a book or just get mm-hmm. caffeinated, whatever it is. Coffee is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't seem to be amazing for the business owner that's running a cafe and every year they speak to their accountants and say, how much money did we make this year? And they say, we had a good year. We ran our business and we made 3% net profit. So if you're someone who's mm-hmm. listening to this podcast and you don't have visibility into the numbers of a cafe, people say to me a lot, is this real? Like how real is this? Are you just pointing out the worst case scenario? Folks, this is the best case scenario. And I'm laughing out of sadness.
Okay.
A good, well-run cafe with seats on bums the whole day, all year round, is looking at around about 3 to 6% net profit. That's how much money they're going to be left with after everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a viable business model.
Mm-hmm.
Producers that are doing well are telling me that their margins are 3% net profit.
Yeah.
Roasteries that are doing well are looking at 8% net profit. Martin Mayorga, folks, who was on this podcast, who does hundreds of containers of green coffee a year. He roasts hundreds of containers a year. On this podcast said, 8%.
It's wild. Yeah. And there is there's so much underlying that too.
Yeah.
Because there can be so many different reasons for that. Some people, it's a strategy. It's a business strategy for that, right? They continuously reinvest to keep net profit lower.
Right. They don't want to show a profit. Right. That exists too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And there are people who, if they're not doing it intentionally, there are a lot, I would say the vast majority are not doing it intentionally. It's just, it is what it is and they can't get ahead.
The vast majority of people come to me and say, what is it that other people have figured out that I can't figure out? Why is it so hard for me to do this? And it's not until I tell them, do you know how many people like you come to me and say that same thing to me? Mm-hmm. The vast majority of people.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to this and you've come from Expo and you're like, I am ready to invest in a business, go and get some education on how to run a business first, please. I'm not saying that every business is going to go out of business. What I'm saying is we don't need more businesses in this industry. We do need more businesses that are run by people who know how to run businesses in this industry. We need more businesses in this industry where the people who are running them know how to be responsible participants and custodians of this very precious commodity that we get to take responsibility of and get to the public. Because if we're not going to be around to do it, Nescafe will. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say just like a big piece of that, being a responsible business owner involves not participating in the chase, in the run to the bottom, the chase to the bottom, whatever the hell the phrase is.
The race to the bottom.
The race to the bottom. There we go. Because
explain that for people who don't know what that means.
Yeah, so the race to the bottom is trying to find the cheapest product that you can possibly purchase to then be able to A, maximize your product, but maximize your profit, but also be able to offer a cheaper option to your market, which then outcompetes other people in other businesses in your market simply based on price.
Mm-hmm.
But all of those decisions are basically being made at the expense of everyone who came before, with the coffee growers, the processors, the, you know, everybody, and the roasters themselves, right? And that is a question that is constantly asked by so many cafes, unfortunately, is like, I need a cheaper coffee. Can you get me a cheaper coffee to their roasters? Or roasters who are asking that to the people who they import coffee from, whether it's an importer or the grower who they work with. Like, I need a cheaper coffee.
That's not coming from a healthy business. That question doesn't come from someone who's running a healthy business.
Exactly. Exactly. That is just like, we need good business that is actually supporting other businesses. And that's what a good business is. It is mutually beneficial for the other folks who you are working with, whether they're your customers or your suppliers. That is what good business is. It's not stepping on the necks of somebody else, and it's not trying to scramble to get a better deal or make a better deal with somebody who's asking you for a lower price. It's just, I'm so tired of that. I'm so tired of that in this industry.
For good reason. Right? Like at the end of the day, if you're trying to take a shortcut, and that's what keeps happening, people are trying to take shortcuts rather than have to go through the process of creating a customer acquisition plan or building relationships with their customers and helping to educate them about this. They don't have time to do that because the people who they're competing against are taking the same shortcuts that they are now taking. And so in order for us to be competitive, now we're all trying to take these shortcuts where in actual fact, we're stealing from the future versions of ourselves and we're shortening the runway of our business.
Yeah. If there's time, I'd like to give a quick example.
Sure. Go for it.
There was a market that was interested in purchasing coffee from us.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they saw our price list, they were like, ooh, it's a little too much for us. Can you give us, like, we need to work with a different price point. And looking at our numbers, we were just like, we can't. This is the price. We can't go lower.
Mm.
And it's like, well, you're going to be higher than any of the other coffees on our shelves. My response to that was like, I'm fine with that. Please price us higher than any other coffee on your shelf. Here are the reasons why our prices are what they are. And then they went silent.
Mm-hmm. And I want to add to that by saying any producer who just heard what Madeline said and who is wondering, should I reduce the price of my coffee because I'm not going to sell it if people are not going to buy my coffee? Please don't sell your coffee at a cheaper price just to make someone on the consumer end happy. Do what Madeline just did. Please. The businesses at the consuming end are not going to learn the lessons that they need to learn by you selling them cheaper coffee. And this is where I want to say to producers, you've got to own your role in this problem.
Yeah.
I love you with all my heart and I will never stop thanking you for what you do for us. But we all have to own our role in this. Mm-hmm. And producers need to stop listening to people on the consuming end, expecting that at some point we're going to figure out how much we depend on you. That day's not coming unless you force it upon us. So stop reducing the price of your coffee for people who should know better than to ask you for that.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, in the next episode, we're going to be talking about the conversation that you should be having around why aren't we paying above the cost of production? Mm-hmm. So join us for that episode, folks. Peace, love, and peanut butter. Have an amazing rest of your day. I really hope you enjoyed this episode, friends. Please don't forget to show us some love by subscribing, liking, commenting, and most of all, sharing this podcast with your friends. Check the show notes for links, including our sponsors and our Patreon. And stay tuned for more great conversations on the Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward.